When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the House of Pod. My name is Kaveh Hoda. That's Dr. Kaveh Hoda. I'm trying to introduce myself as a doctor now so people know I'm a doctor. I don't know if that's important or not, but I was told to say it. So I'm saying it. Thank you for joining us on this fun little irreverent medical podcast. We talk about public health and the intersections of pop culture and politics and whatever we really want to. And today we want to talk about professional wrestling and wrestling in general. Now, to join me, I have two guests. The first guest, listeners have heard before on our episode on serial killers, Dr. Solman Mirza. Dr. Mirza, how are you, buddy?
Dr. Hoda, thank you for having me back on here. I feel very official.
Call me Kaveh. You
know? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. As long as you call yourself Dr. Hoda, then it's okay.
I call myself Dr. Hoda all the time.
Well, pleasure to be back.
It's good to see you, buddy. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. I know it's very late where you are. I appreciate you you powering through.
Yeah, it's a little bit past midnight o'clock. You know, I come home after a long day at work, and then I was like, what more do I want than like another one of these daughters of mine running around and like, you know, crying about something, and then, you know, we'll jump on a pod at the same time. It's all good.
Yeah, the me, basically. I'm like one of your daughters crying about something.
Yeah.
Joining us to talk about wrestling, this is exciting. I'm going to try and introduce our next guest in a manner that is becoming of her stature and her position. From Oakland, Iran, the founder and the high priestess of the Church of Wrestling, which is, by the way, a recognized legitimate religion by the U.S. government. It is recognized, the Church of Wrestling. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. And the founder of Oakland's accidental phenomenon, Hood Slam, which is a live-action cosplay combat comedic tragedy that happens to take place in a wrestling ring. She is the master mold, the mother brain, Dark Sheik. I think it's just Dark Sheik, not the Dark Sheik, but Dark Sheik. Dark Sheik, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, that was amazing. You nailed it. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. Dark Sheik, Dark Sheik is your persona, your stage name. But your real name is Sam Khandabadi. Did I say that correctly?
Absolutely. You nailed it. You'll be the first one to have done it.
I'm going to be the only interviewer that gets that right, just so you know. It's going to get rough.
It's been rough, but thank you for that.
Kaveh is hard for people, so I can only imagine. Before we go any further, what's the worst you've ever gotten?
You know, there's a lot of people that have just done a terrible job of reading English letters put in front of them. But the thing that I thought was the most The one that stands out to me when you said it was that whenever I'd have a teacher, they would say Sam K. And I'd be like, it's, you can say it. Like, you're the teacher. You need to be able to say my name, or maybe you should just go sit down and I'll teach the class because I can say everyone's name. Like, if we'll, let's start with that. So really put every teacher on a bad foot with me just to start the day.
It's not as bad as like when they're like, I'm not even going to try that one, right? The Sam, I'm not even going to try that. That's worse, right?
And they would say that, I'm not even going to try that. That's too difficult for me to say. And like, what language is your notes written in? Because mine are in English, and I read that fine.
Yeah, so, it's not like the name was written in like Arabic or Farsi or something.
No.
The words were English words. Yeah.
I was born in Atlanta. It's a Southern name. I would like due respect. Actually, I'm very happy that it's law. I don't know. It's not like a real thing, but I think the many syllables point to the grandness of me, the person used to name it.
Yeah. Big, bold, beautiful name. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Thanks. So
we're going to talk about wrestling, and we're going to talk about a lot of different aspects of wrestling that intrigue me. But I have to confess something first.
Oh, no.
No, I voted for Trump. No, I'm just kidding. I was never into wrestling growing up. I feel like I missed out. Like, a lot of kids I knew at the time were really into wrestling. And a lot of guys I know now that I'm friends with that, like, you know, we'll talk about it. They, you know, when this episode's coming up, for example, you know, a lot of people came out to tell me like how much, you know, they loved it growing up. And for whatever reason, I never really connected. It's too late for me to get it in that sense. Maybe Hood Slam. We'll talk about Hood Slam a little bit. I think I could get into it. But tell me a little bit, and I actually want to hear both of your answers. I want to hear Sam. I want to hear your answer first. But tell me a little bit about what drew you to wrestling in the first place. What was it?
The answer, I think the best way to put it is that it's just a form of storytelling like any other. If you like a song or you like a play or you like a TV show, you're liking usually a story, and wrestling is just another canvas to tell a story on. Also, I wanted to be a Ninja Turtle, and when I couldn't, I said, well, wrestling is really physical. I'll do that. So putting those two things together, I decided when I was like 5 or 6, and I'm still here today. I just was like, let's do that one decision for the rest of my life.
That's fantastic. You are Persian. How did your parents take it when you were like, no, I'm not going to be a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer. I'm going to be a professional wrestler. How did that go over?
Oh, I lied to them.
The best way.
Yeah, I was a smart kid, unfortunately. And unfortunately, still smart, it feels like sometimes. But not smart enough to get doctor in my... All those things you said to introduce me, not one of them was doctor. So,
You're not missing out. They eventually found out, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
They think you're a doctor now.
No. I wish. Amazingly, I talked to my dad like with little effort to let me go to a pro wrestling school when I was like 14. I'd done martial arts from like 7 to 13. We had moved to California, and I didn't find a new karate school to go to. I found a wrestling school to go to, and somehow, amazingly, he agreed. I still don't know why, but...
Well, he was right. I mean, you clearly have an aptitude for it. I will post links. I'll be honest, I haven't seen Hood Slam yet, but my friends who go in the Bay Area absolutely rave about it and send me clips about it, especially when I mentioned that, you know, we were going to have you on. Solman, was it the same for you? What was it that, and you're still a big fan, I see you about professional wrestling a lot. Tell me a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I think it was like, you know, a way for when we were younger as boys to kind of bond with our dads or uncles, the other kind of like uncles in the community as well. I think they brought us on to be like, oh, watch this stuff. And then we saw, again, just like Sam is saying, the storytelling play out. And, you know, I grew up during the time of like Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and, you know, the Iron Sheiky Baby. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about Sheiky Baby in a bit, RIP to him. But like, you know, all those, that classic age, Andre the Giant. So that was really what drew me in. You have the classic characters of like good and bad, morality playing out over the time. And then of course it ends up in, like, you know, like great movie fashion, and the big fight at WrestleMania, we're going to have the blow off and this is how we're going to settle our fight. And then kind of like, you know, when the curtain got pulled back and it was kind of like, you know, we're not going to use the F word, right? Not going to use the fake word. It's, you know, it's being deemed as scripted. My appreciation of it really changed to be like, oh my goodness, like this is all scripted and they're simulating violence. They're simulating these stories, and it's acting. It's just a different form of acting and storytelling. And the athleticism is off the charts to be able to do these matches without hurting, you know, without legitimately hurting your opponents. Right. So that's what's really appealed to me. I've always been a sports guy. Yeah. So that's something that's been a lifelong thing.
The athleticism cannot be questioned about, like, a really great wrestling, great wrestling. And I agree. I like the fact that there is this operatic feel to it, like a soap opera, like there's a story there. Sam, was that the same for you when you found out? I'm assuming, like a lot of kids, you found out at some point that it was scripted. Did that change things for you in a good or a bad way?
No, I don't know why, but I don't think I believed in anything as a kid. Like, I don't remember thinking Santa was real. I don't remember thinking wrestling was real. I don't remember thinking it. I think I was raised to believe that if it's on television, it's not real. I don't know where, like, I don't know why. It's just what I came away with. And so it was just another show like any other show, except for this was kind of like the comic books I liked and the video games I liked brought to life. And, you know, it was sometimes marketed right to me as that demographic. And it was also live. It was live and it was physical. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if I really want to, like, talk it up, I like to say, oh, it's a one-take fight scene with call and response and emotion and story. And it's done in the round. And, like, you know, there might be, like, some pyro and, like, some dancers, too. Or, like, a band. Like, you know, it's really awesome. And blood. And we might bleed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We really might bleed for somebody. And that's... You know, fucking, I know Tom Cruise, excuse me. I know Tom Cruise will jump out of an airplane, like, you know, barely not in orbit, but like, mm-hmm. he's not going to come to your town and bleed for you. So there's something else to it that, whether that's good or not, it's still very unique, that last part. You don't really get that out of everything.
That's dedication to your audience, it's dedication to your craft. I have respect.
It's a primal thing too, I think. I think it's a little bit of ritual that is like ingrained in people, and we don't know how to express it because we don't really do those rituals anymore. But then we're like, you know what? We still do. Like, here's wrestling, and someone's gonna bleed in front of you, like, you know, for their call. I don't know. I'm still piecing it together.
Yeah,
I mean, it's why like, you know, UFC has had this resurgence in the past, you know, decade or so. Because there is, like, an exactly like we're saying, you know, that primal aspect of it that needs to come out. We have, like, this internal bloodlust almost to see that stuff or be involved in that. So
I think with wrestling too, it almost fits into, like, mythologies, whereas UFC, I'm almost like, this is the Colosseum and we're watching the gladiators. Yeah. Like, but same with boxing. It's not like UFC was the first to sell violence.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
Well, let's take a look back into some of the characters growing up that we all grew up with. I mean, you have a very unique perspective on this. You're a Persian trans woman who has created something pretty beautiful in the wrestling world, but you grew up like me in a time when really there weren't a lot of Persian or Middle Eastern role models at all.
No.
Andre Agassi, but he hit it. You know, he would never know, you know, and like
we knew though, we'd always know.
I mean, but there was the Iron Sheik, and he passed away recently. I feel like we have to discuss that because there was a lot of, I felt part of for me what was hard about wrestling, why I would turn it off and why I could not get into it, was these sort of weird racist like tropes that I would see. And my feelings about the Iron Sheik are complicated and they've changed over time. Like when I was young, I hated him. I was like, fuck this. This is the guy that they're putting on TV to represent me. I got pissed as a young kid. I got really upset about it. Later, I'm like, it wasn't his fault. I mean, they didn't give him a lot of options. I get that. I understand he was trying to make it and entertain, and he was entertaining And a lot of people knew that if he wasn't a real heel in real life, and later he became really well loved and all that by everyone, but it was complicated for me. Was it hard for you growing up seeing that sort of stuff in wrestling?
It took me a long time to realize that was supposed to be me. Like, the first time I saw Iron Sheik, I didn't even think about that, like, we were from the same place. I, you know, that guy doesn't look like me or my mom or my dad or anyone I hang out with. So it didn't occur to me until, shoot, probably when I went to wrestling school and they said, oh, you speak Farsi, you have to be a Sheik. And then I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
Oh, that's what they were calling me. Oh, no. Like, all of it started putting, like, all this, the horrible names and everything just started, like, piecing together. But I remember, like, when I did know Sheik was Iranian, because other Iranians would point it out to me eventually. I don't know, but then he'd be Iraqi like for a year, and then he'd be Iranian again, and it was
right.
It was all very silly. He was such a cartoon character that it almost just didn't occur to me that that was supposed to represent me, and I don't think that was the intention when Vince McMahon, you know, put a camel on his speedo that he was supposed to be like, and the Iranians will love this. I think it was the Americans will hate this. But the guy was such a good performer, and he was an amazing athlete. Like, Kalich, like, he's even like when he wrestles Hulk Hogan, he's like, I'm just going to throw you around for about 2 minutes in a way that not a lot of people did to him.
Yeah.
And he had that ridiculous mustache and the curly boots, and he would pull out the Persian clubs, and there was something charming about it anyway. So I liked him. And he was a world champion for, like, you know, 22 days or something, like, for some insanely short amount of time. But that was a big deal. Not a lot of people were world champions. And honestly, there still hasn't been an Iranian champion since him. So.
Well, you're a much more sophisticated person than me, I think.
That can't be right.
Soma, what about you? I mean, you also, I'm sure, grew up being called the Sheik or something like that. I'm sure you got that as well growing up.
Yeah, we got, I mean, to some extent, the Sheik was, we got it because I'm, you know, Pakistani descent. So a little bit later, we started getting like the Great Khali, and then Jinder Mahal is like, again, a little bit more recent as well. But we didn't have like Punjabi, Pakistani, Indian wrestlers around that time. Sheik was like the closest thing we had to somebody that we could identify with. And again, like during that time, it's like, was around like the Iraq war again, like, you know, there was Sergeant Slaughter was turned to become this, you know, Iraqi sympathizer, and like Sheik was involved. So again, you know, WWF, WWE, like wrestling as a whole has always played into like these caricatures, and really amping up like, how can we get people to like hate the character there or boo the person there? Because like, I think I've seen over and over again is that like, you want to generate a reaction, like some, even if it's an angry reaction or a negative reaction, that's what you want versus no reaction.
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't paint him as like, you know, Iron Sheik, if you don't play up that aspect of like, oh, he's a Persian and he's or Iranian, he's from the Middle East and he's an evil guy, then he's just a guy. And you don't, you know, again, for the audience, but you don't care as much, right?
You could say you make him Olympian and like Savak agent and like, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. But yes, you're right. And patriotism was such a big thing. It's like Hogan was in a Rocky movie. Like, so of course he's fighting foreigners. Like, that's his whole, that's going to be his whole deal is, everything that Rocky did after, I guess, he fought Hulk Hogan.
Sam, when you do Hood Slam, when you're writing scripts and you're, or I'm assuming you're doing most of the writing, right? For Hood Slam.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes, I am.
Which is, I think is a, I have a lot of questions about that, but like when you are doing the writing now, like, how much of what you're writing is sort of like a satire of what you grew up with or an homage to it? Like, how does it play into like the scripts you write now?
When Hood Slam first began, it was like definitely just a bunch of nostalgia and references. And the idea was it would be like pop culture for the new fans that don't like wrestling, and like some really deep cuts right there at the same time for the ones that really like wrestling. And they would be overlapped in a way that you wouldn't like feel like you're missing out if you didn't care about one or the other. there'd still be something for you. Now we have such a new, you know, we've been doing it 13 years now, so we kind of ran through all the nostalgia I thought was fun like 8 years ago, you know. There's only so much we could rip off, and we had to start coming up with new ideas. So there's always been a eclectic group of characters, not like just diverse or queer or you know, even different styles of fighting, but we have like chupacabras and aliens and angels and demons and just all sorts of different, you know, also just some normal people in there trying to get along too, you know. It's a fun group. So the story is kind of, you really just need to have good characters. Like, and like put a background to a story and be like, aliens come and they fight the aliens and someone wins, and like, who cares? But if the characters are good and have depth, then the story will be filled in. Right. And a lot of that is the performers themselves. They bring so much of that with them on their own, and Hood Slam allows a lot of freedom compared to like maybe a televised product, which, you know, I think lets us get better reactions and more emotional reactions, just more fun.
And we would call this pro wrestling. We would call it independent wrestling.
Yeah, it's independent wrestling. It's professional wrestling. You're absolutely right.
So when you're writing a script like this, like how much of it is it, do you sometimes just give the basic like bullet points? Like, okay, I want you to be winning most of the time, and then you do this special thing and you win at the end. Or is it more than that? Or can it vary from like fight to fight?
Sometimes I'll show up, like, let's say the show's at 9, we'll have a meeting at like 7:45 and the doors are supposed to be open at 8, and I'll point at people and I'll tell them who they're wrestling right then. And the commentators and music people are scrambling to write this down because I won't remember the order. And I'll tell them who's winning, and there'll be like an underlying theme to the show or like some connecting threads that I knew I wanted to do, but I didn't know with who or how yet until right then. Because, you know, pressure really, it makes diamonds. And when you're on the spot, you really, the inspiration to have good ideas comes quick. Other times I will, gosh, you know, I have a story in my head for like a year and I'll just kind of let it sit till it feels right. And, you know, it can be very detailed, but as far as the moves of what people are doing, I don't need to tell them what to do with that. If I, you know, they're good wrestlers and I hire good people because they know what to do there already.
Yeah.
Give them an emotion of the story that's happening, or maybe be like, hey, this person needs to be injured later, so yeah, kick him in the leg. But that's not like a month-to-month thing. That's like what you said exactly could be right, and also all that long rambling I did is also right. It's never the same thing with 20 to 30 characters and 7 matches and like, you know, multiple shows a month. It's always a new thing.
There's a physicality to this performance that is really unique in my mind to, you know, performance arts. I played a lot of music for a long time, and there's a physicality to that. There's a toll on your body from that, but this is on a different level. Like, how do you guys prepare for it? How do you guys stay in shape? What do you guys do in that regards?
I don't know what other people do. I feel pretty blessed. Like, I feel like I don't have to do all that much, and like, it goes great for me. But a lot of people will do working out multiple times a week and going maybe to some type of like cardio class or aerobics, or maybe just something to make them more agile. Some of them do rock climbing, all kinds of neat stuff. Of course, actual wrestling training, not just going to the gym, like going to a school and practicing moves. Mm-hmm. You have to eat right too, because the more you work out, the more calories you're burning. So you need to make up for that. And that usually means you have to spend more money. So like, I don't know how other people do this. Like, it really is beyond me. They're very impressive. For me, it's very easy. I think when I was a kid, I did all that karate and then I started wrestling right after. And now, you know, just good shape forever without trying.
Oh, God bless you.
Let's
see how you feel in your 40s, all right?
I'm closer than you might think.
I'll check back in a couple years.
Okay. I remember when I was a teenager and they said, wait till you hit 25, then your metabolism, kid. And I said, okay. And then they're like, well, wait till you're 30. And then you know, they keep pushing this goalpost and I keep being good at wrestling. I don't know what to tell you.
I have no doubt you'll stay good at wrestling. What's the worst injury you've received from this or seen during this live?
The ones I've received, my torn meniscus and MCL, they weren't full tears. They were level 2 tears, not like all the way, but kind of hanging on, and also a cracked kneecap. This happened a couple times. I also cracked my ribs a couple times. I never like broke a rib. Those are very painful though. Like there's not really, once it's cracked, you're just like, okay, it's cracked and it hurts, but you don't really do anything.
Yeah.
But it just hurts to do anything. Like, and like if a sneeze comes on, it just is like the terror, this terror. I can't really,
yeah.
It's the worst. I've got more concussions than I want to talk about, and you know, just wish me luck on that. And yeah, there's also been staples, barbed wire, glass, chairs, tables, doors, ladders. You know, I think I cracked a tooth getting suplexed off the second tier in Atlanta at the Civic Center. But you know, it's really, I used to film WCW and I was like, let's go hard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I survived it. And I was like, wow, I am magic. But I think I cracked a tooth.
Solman, psychiatrist, do you have any concerns about these repeated concussions and any advice for Sam?
No, it's the one, you know, like I think we were messaging before, but like, it's one of the reasons I got into doing like the sports psychiatry and like the addiction medicine, because, you know, again, so many of these people that I grew up with, we would, you know, as we grew older, we'd hear about these terrible fates that they would have, of like, you know, the, how they would kind of self, how their recovery was like through painkillers and alcohol and cigarettes and et cetera and all that stuff. And that was how they got through recovery. And, you know, it's interesting now because like social media has really pulled back the layers on so many of everybody essentially. And you see like all the modern, you know, the big name wrestlers, again, kind of like Sam, like you were saying, they put their money into their recovery, right? So they're training nonstop and they have her full, like, you know, chefs perhaps, or like specialized meals. So like the sports science has obviously evolved a lot. Concussions, you know, they're a huge thing. We've seen, like, in football has gotten definitely like a lot more of the attention with it, but you know, wrestling, absolutely, like, you know, the unprotected chair shots to the head, those have been really scaled back a lot. A lot of the moves have been kind of banned or really modified to really minimize headshots or anything like that, or bumps to the head. You know, so we don't see a lot. And I remember, like, was it Cody Rhodes a few years ago when he was like on AEW, took that unprotected chair shot, you know, from, was it Sean Spears? And, you know, was busted open, bleeding all over the place. And everyone, there's this huge uproar of like, oh my God, it's 2020 or 2021, whatever it was. And like, you're taking this unprotected chair shot. What's wrong with you? And all the stuff that's there. So we see what the outcomes have been much, much later on in life.
It's nice to see people taking it more seriously. When I began wrestling, we didn't know. And everyone was just taking chair shots to the head all the time. So there were schools that would teach you how to not put your hands up by hitting you in the head with a chair during practice in front of no one. I didn't go to the school, but these are things that happen, because if you put your hands up, you know, it doesn't look as good, or you might hurt your hand. And when a person got a concussion back then, look, if they got up again and they said, where am I? And or if you-
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
They could tell you, like, oh, I'm at a show. Or if they didn't, if they just pushed you away and said, I'm fine, and kept wrestling, you would believe them, because we didn't know you weren't supposed to stop them yet. The Will Smith movie didn't come out. No one told us. And we had to just kind of learn this, like, little by little. And now we know. And now, like, yes, I have a much slower accumulation of concussions. But before, no one was thinking about the long. We would say, oh, I was groggy for a couple months. Like, that was awful. I don't want to ever do that again. But nobody's thinking, yeah, these are things that, or, you know, you'd have conversation with people and they would be scary. And I'd be like, dude, are you messing with me? Why do you keep asking me the same question?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are real. And I would see them all the time. And we just were like, oh, he was really, you know, we knew not to let each other fall asleep. That was it. And maybe we shouldn't let them drive home. Maybe get them some water. That would be nice.
Some water.
But that was about as much anyone knew, like, about this. So it's scary to me, too. It's not something that I think, like, oh, wrestlers, we're tough. We get concussions. Like, hell no. And I heard how many concussions, like, NFL quarterbacks give up their million-dollar contracts for. I was like, oh, God. Like, that wrestlers need to.
Yeah.
We're way past 6 or 7 or 8 or, you know, we're. Yeah.
Well, Sam, does that factor into your like writing or your direction for your wrestlers? Is that something that you sometimes have to tell them, like, hey guys, let's cool it with the concussions, or is it something it's out of your hands?
We just have it worked out. We don't do that at Head Slam. People aren't concussing each other. We're doing things that are safe. And the things that I have to talk people out of, like, I'm going to jump off this balcony. And I'm like, why? They're not doing it head first. So it's not about concussions. But I'm like, you shouldn't. And they're like, yeah, I really want to, though. And we have to have a back and forth. And, you know, if we come back to the venue too many times, eventually they win. So I let them jump off the balconies. But
why?
Why?
You guys bring up the history of professional wrestling is notable for the deaths of young wrestlers. From my limited understanding, drug abuse, probably a lot of painkillers, and obviously steroids and the effects it's had on their hearts. Are those? I definitely get the sense that these days, like, people aren't searching for that same Hulk Hogan big weird puffy big body. There seems to be a lot more diversity in body shapes and sizes, which I think is fantastic. But is that still something that is a concern, like the steroid use and the drug use? Is that something that is a concern in professional wrestling, whether it's independent or televised?
Sure. Yeah. People are doing steroids. People are doing drugs. I don't know if they're doing them responsibly. It's probably case by case. It's not the Olympics. You're allowed to do steroids. Like, you know, this is for show. I don't really care. As long as you're manageable and not roid raging and, like, still safe. And, you know, I would recommend cycle off, but hey, you're allowed to do that. And people are adults, and sometimes doctors will just, I don't know. I don't want to say anything because I just realize I'm talking to doctors, but sometimes people prescribe medicine that they don't know how to adequately handle. It feels like, or I don't know where I should say they shouldn't have had this medicine, or they didn't know what to do with it. But you do see people just with addictive personalities become addicted to things. So,
Sam, it's okay. You know, I think Kaveh and I both know that there are docs who will write a prescription for whoever, for whatever, for however much ever needed. So.
Right, especially if you're in WWE or something, and, you know, they have their own doctors. I don't know what gets through there. I like to think it's all on board, but I also know that, like, if someone can't make a tour, they'd be really upset. So maybe sometimes they push things through they shouldn't. But,
well, I mean, I'm sure that's true for a lot of professional sports, if not all professional sports. And you certainly don't need to couch any criticism of doctors with us. I mean, we're probably the first to criticize doctors, so you don't need to worry about that. But I mean, I guess it doesn't, I don't feel like we're hearing those same stories as much. I was sort of under the assumption that it was less because of that, or more controlled, or is being done in safe ways.
I mean, drugs are better too, so that's nice. But a lot of it is, I don't know, we're not, a whole generation of wrestlers passed away. Like, you can pull up a show from the 90s and be like, half these guys are dead. Like, and they should be like, they definitely should still be alive. Like, if they were healthy adults. Like, but now people are being safer. People aren't trying to, you know, roid out of their brains. They're trying to be bigger, but they're not trying to be Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. And the business also realized it was a bad look. So they are doing a better job of keeping an eye on concussions and things like that, or telling people, hey, you have to retire because we're not going to hire you to wrestle anymore, because it could be a real, because of all kinds of reasons. Could be a bad look, could be harmful to your body, you know, all kinds of motivations, I'm sure. So you're right, and then it is better. But, you know, I guess we'll see in another few years how this generation did.
I think one of the big things was going to be like the Chris Benoit situation, how that played out. Chris Benoit, you know, for those who may not be familiar, was a very skilled Canadian wrestler, a technical wizard. They called him the Rabid Wolverine. Classic matches, like in WCW, WWE, was like champion for a long time, multiple championship reigns. And, you know, history of like concussions, history of like steroid use. And, you know, I think they said CTE later on, but like he went home and he killed his son and he killed his wife and hung himself. And it was a massive wake up call that like, this is kind of the end result of what happens to this lifestyle. And when we're really doing all these things to our body, like it shows up in ways that obviously have very tragic ends.
You know, part of why I bring this up is because I feel like, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when you have something like Hood Slam that you're putting together, which is like based on really entertaining people in a fun way and not focusing necessarily on the visuals of what a wrestler should look like, I feel like you would have less of those problems. If it's more about like creating a fun story with fun characters, it's less about creating someone, like you said, who looks like the Ultimate Warrior, who just looked ridiculous and looked not healthy, was so like big and beefy, didn't look healthy. I feel like that would almost be an advantage or a selling point for something like Hood Slam. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think that we're not, you know, dropping like flies is great. But many of us have been on this show for a decade and some of us are better looking now than ever. Hey, you know, not just me. I'm talking about a few of the wrestlers on the roster. They just keep getting in better shape. So yeah, I think it's nice for people to see that. I think people look, I don't want to, when people ask me like, oh, wrestling, like, oh, I know that's really painful, or that, what's that like, or blah, blah, blah. I tell them it's easy and it's fun, because I don't want these people thinking I'm some kind of masochist. Like, I don't want them thinking that I'm doing something that's intentionally painful. It is painful and it's not easy for everyone, but the idea isn't for us to hurt. And the idea is to entertain people. Yeah. And the idea of what wrestling is has expanded beyond, you know, you got to punch me in the face and bruise me to make it look real because so-and-so is in the front row. Like, we don't need to do that anymore. Like, we can, at Hood Slam, like, pull out someone's fake heart or, like, have a little blood bag go off. And the crowds react the exact same, you know, without anyone having, you know, we're not killing each other out there, and we're not trying to convince them we're killing each other. I'm trying to make everyone know that this is a show and we're going home happy and nobody's life was ruined for your entertainment. You don't have to feel guilty about what am I supporting? Like, no, none of that at Hood Slam.
So you're saying I can come. You're saying that I can come to the next Hood Slam is what you're trying to say, right, Sam?
Oh, yeah. I'll put you on the guest list. Please do.
Fantastic. Can you tell us what it is, speaking of which?
It's August 4th. It's called You Up. We have to do these all the time, so you know, if you hate the name, don't worry, there's another one in 2 weeks. But gosh, there's a lot of tournaments. We've been doing a lot of turmoil at Hood Slam. There was Oh gosh, I kind of like started writing about the Book of Enoch and these angels. The fallen came back. The fallen angels came back through a rip in time created by atomic bombs. Oh boy, I'm like falling in my chair as I'm saying this. I'm getting lower and lower. We
That's
had a wrestler who's an evil scientist make a sentient atomic bomb who decided through free will that its purpose was to blow itself up. And this created a hole in reality that the fallen angels, as described in the Book of Enoch, came back through and started killing our roster. And
killing
we
them.
fought them and we won. Like, eight of us died, but like two of theirs, and they surrendered. So now we're doing like tournaments. There's like a battle royal, a tournament.
Speaking of which, wait, before I forget, this is a recognized religion. Can you tell us about that again? How and why and how?
Well, the Hood Slam is one project, and the Church of Wrestling is something else I came up with during the pandemic. And it was because I couldn't do shows anymore. I was very isolated, but I still felt compelled to go to a wrestling ring and like just work out by myself. And I realized when I was in the ring that like I was like, God, I just feel like it. Something I've always said, I could go to any ring in the world. You could put me on the moon, but when I go into a wrestling ring, I'll be like, I know this. This is home to me. Like a spider to a web, I am to wrestling rings, or a fish to water, I guess would be less sinister sounding. But I like them. I belong in them. The spider web is a more apt analogy because the ring vibrates and you could feel where things are if you're paying attention. But I was in a ring and I was just like, this is my holy place. Like, this is like how people must feel when they go to churches, when they can go to a church anywhere and just like feel good. And I said, oh God, this is my religion. Like, clearly, like that's why it feels this way to me, because wrestling has always been there for me. And also I believe in, there's a lot of Church of Wrestling like stuff that I explain to people one on one. I guess that's like the Church of Scientology, like hidden level, I don't want to go into. But on the short version of it, I believe in stories, and I believe stories are important. And I think that wrestling is such a human way of telling stories, and we're reliving things. It's communion. That's the part I was trying to struggle for to remember. It's communion. When I'm wrestling, me and my opponent and the referee and the commentators and the camera people and the fans, like we're all sharing one moment. We're all in this one thing together. And it's just, there's no second guessing. There's just pure thought in that. Like, I don't know, like you're always kind of like there's a voice in your head that's guiding you through your day. When I'm wrestling, there is none. It's what do they call it?
It's like a form of meditation. You're ultimately present in that moment, and you're not wondering if you left the stove on, or you're not wondering about if what you said earlier that day to the teller at the grocery store was awkward. You're just living in that moment. And what's nice is you're actually sharing that with other people. I definitely can see that. I mean, listen, it certainly does not make any less sense to me than any other religion. It's right up there with the rest of them. If that's good or bad news for you, I don't know.
You don't have to eat anybody or drink their blood.
Yeah, that's pretty, it's a huge win. There's no
But if
cannibalism.
you do, I mean, that's pretty rad and like pretty metal. So like, good on you.
You don't blame women in this religion for the ultimate downfall of man, which I think is a strong start.
No, in fact, I think it's a goddess of wrestling, if that helps even more.
I think that does. I think that does. Let me ask you, speaking of goddesses, do you feel that the wrestling community accepted you well, or have you ever had any issues, or has it been just you feel like you've been accepted as part of the community as any other wrestler would be?
I mean, I'm really, really good and I run a successful show. So everyone has to be nice to me a little bit. Like, just because they want to be on a show, or maybe they're afraid I might like say something mean about them on Twitter and a bunch of people would agree with me. So everyone's pretty nice as far as backstage. I think companies, like at a major level, one, like I'm like a unique trans woman among trans women, even. You know what I mean? Like, I have a deep voice and I haven't had any surgery, and that's not like entirely unique to me, but it is to things in like television or,
Yeah.
something you're trying to sell an action figure to of a target, like that would be new. So, and the other thing about those companies that like I've like made a living on my own doing this wrestling thing, and then they're not going to give me so much money. They would be more than that as a starting salary. I wouldn't deserve it. But also, if they gave me less, I wouldn't listen to them or treat them respectfully. So, in that sense, maybe I'm not accepted in those levels. But for fans, most people are overwhelmingly supportive. I make a living off this. There's always going to be every day somebody commenting something on social media. But there's so many more people that say nice things about me.
I also get the sense that you wouldn't really give a fuck if they didn't say nice things about you.
I mean, I'm going to be here wrestling anyway. And I probably wouldn't give a fuck, but I sure do like compliments. Like, I am a Leo. It is nice to, I do feed off them a little bit. I do consume them. And when people are thinking towards me, that's kind of like that communion in wrestling. It's, I don't know. I accept thoughts and prayers to make a stronger Sheik for everyone. I guess the best way I can put it.
I think it's really cool that we've seen like this greater acceptance of, queer LGBTQ individuals and characters like in wrestling. Like, back in the day, again, there was these caricatures and there was almost a lot of the yucks and we don't want to see that. Like Goldust, again, somebody was one of those characters that everyone was like, oh, I feel uncomfortable and I feel weird with Goldust. Like what is Goldust? Who is Goldust and what's he doing and what's the character? But now, like I think again, like an AEW show, All Elite Wrestling show, there was, there is an openly gay wrestler there, and there was like one of the female wrestlers was like hitting on him, and the crowd started chanting, "He's gay, he's gay, he's gay," like in the best way possible, right? And not in a way that, not in a way like 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago would have been like he's gay in like this terrible way, but very supportive and very much like we've accepted you and you're one of us and we appreciate you as a wrestler.
Yeah, it turns out a lot of the audience is actually not homophobic and, would just be accepting of a gay wrestler. And then beyond that, a lot of the new audience is even more forward thinking and don't care. And on the independent level, like over the pandemic, it was the queer wrestlers that carried independent wrestling and kept it exciting. So a lot of the new audience that is going to shows locally is a queer audience that not just is okay with it, but came for it, is there for representation because it's bigger in indie wrestling than it is in a lot of other forms of media. And yeah, now you will have a crowd of people saying he's gay in like a good way, not an offensive way. And just real quick, you mentioned Goldust. He's like Iron Sheik, where gay people are like kind of an icon, also like hella problematic. Like, don't claim him, but like stand for him. And like, it's just this weird thing where, like, oh, don't do that again, but like, also, thank you. It's hard to balance, but I think there's a correlation there too with misrepresentation or underrepresentation. Anyone that speaks Farsi, I don't care what their character is on TV, I'm a fan of that character. Just immediately, I will take it. I'm like, representation, ours, claimed. And I
Dude,
think it's the same thing with LGBTQ audience.
I would love to get you on television for that reason alone. I understand what you're saying. It's funny. I was just thinking about this the other day. I was talking to someone and we were talking about like media depictions of Iranians in particular. And I said, this is how fucked up it is that the only good or the best, I should say, media depiction of an Iranian of any sort that's currently on TV or in movies is a vampire in the mockumentary show The Shadows.
Oh my God, I love it. I love this whenever it's live, you're speaking Farsi. Like that was the first time. Like I'm just like flipping through a book and that plays. And one of them speaks Farsi and go, wait, what? And I like sit up like a beacon went on. And oh, it made me so happy. When his horse was named Jahan, like it,
Novak, I think his name
oh
is like Jovan Novak. He plays God, what's the guy's name? Nandor, Nandor the
my God.
Relentless.
Another one, and I'm watching Legion, and if you ever seen it, it was like an FX TV show. It's really good, loosely based off the X-Men character, and the Shadow King is in it. And the Shadow King speaks, French,
Arab
English.
Egyptian though in the comics, all right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be, but and for some reason in this he speaks Farsi, and it makes me so happy whenever he speaks Farsi. And I'm like, claim him. Like, he definitely took over someone's mind that was a baby and is kind of evil, but like, you know what? Ours now.
That's all good.
Part of it. Part of it.
That's great. Okay, listen, I have one more question for you. I was told by a fan to ask, and I'm probably going to regret this, what a thrussy is.
It's actually pronounced Thrissy.
Okay, sorry, Tracy.
Well, Thrissy is a tag team I am in with Alley Catch and Effie, who are also queer icons and just great wrestlers. And Alley Catch and Effie were teaming for a while before I came along as Bussy,
Okay.
which is maybe a word you've heard.
No, I'm super lame, man. I'm
I feel
super.
like you can put it together.
Wait, hold on. Give me. Okay. But okay. There's the pussy in there. B
Yes.
is for boys pussy.
Yeah, or even just butt, really depending. But yes. So they were bussy, and then I came along, and people just started calling us thrissy. Which I guess is a thruple of bussy. I've never really
I wish.
questioned it. I've also heard it's the throat. And what's weird is bussy is definitely pronounced bussy, but thrussy is occasionally pronounced thrussy. Like it feels more natural.
Yeah.
So I'll give you that. So that's what that is. It's me, Effie, and Alley Cat. We are thrussy. Thrussy is bountiful. Thrissy is hot. Thrissy is coming to a town. Thrissy has wrestled in multiple continents, multiple countries. We're a thing. We're all over. We're great.
You guys are great, and it's
Yeah,
super
man.
fun from what I've seen. I'm really excited to come see you. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you, High Priestess of the Church of Wrestling, Dark Sheik.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate it. Please tell us the where people can learn about Hood Slam and tell us some upcoming dates for some Hood Slam events.
Yeah, you can go to at Hood Slam like anything, and you will see a list of our stuff. But August 4th and August 18th in Oakland, and then like every 2 weeks, pretty much, also in Oakland. And then we're also in Arizona, which we are doing shows, I don't know, quarterly-ish, in Mesa at the Nile Theater, September 17th. Trying to do stuff in Portland, LA, do Vegas again. We just did that in May. So we're kind of all over the West all the time. It's a wild west, and we are the wild. That's our part in that. It's a 21 and up event. Our shows stream live on Fight TV or Fight Plus, but if you already have Fight Plus, it's free to watch us too. And they also have like our back catalog for a while. But yeah, you could be anywhere in the world and watch it on your phone as it's happening, assuming our production guy is on the ball. Yeah, I don't know, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, whatever Twitter is now. Ugh. But
Yeah, nobody's
we're around.
excited about that anymore. Nobody
Don't
like,
even want to mention
yeah, that. Well, that's
Yeah.
really cool. I'm very excited. I'm definitely planning on attending. I'm very excited. I've been watching your videos, and it's just high flying, exciting, just fun looking chaos in the most controlled and like really just sort of beautiful way. So I'm very excited to come and check it out.
Thank you. It is dangerous. Like, watch out. We don't put anything between the wrestlers and the fans. It's just there's a ring and you stand next to it. So like, yeah, when people are coming off the balcony, like, look out. Don't stand there when they're coming off a balcony or jumping out of the ring or like, I got covered in blood last show. I know a bunch of fans behind me did too. So, but it was like Kool-Aid. This was not staple blood. This was okay. So just like,
just cool it, but it's okay.
Last question for you. You said you wanted to be a Ninja Turtle, right?
Uh-huh.
Solomon, let's take guesses as to which one she wanted to be. Can which it was one in particular, right?
Sure was.
Okay. Which one do you think it was?
Gonna guess Michelangelo.
No, absolutely not.
No?
Sincerely, Raphael.
That's right. Accurate.
Knew it. And I'm not the psychiatrist. Note it.
Yeah.
Soma.
Hey, I'm a psychiatrist, not a psychic, okay? Come on, guys. It's a difference. There's a difference.
Well, I come off as, you know, I just talked about my party show and how much fun I have, but, you know, there's layers.
There is a little Michelangelo in there. Yeah, I could see that. That was reasonable. Yeah.
Pizza.
Where can people find you?
Probably I'm trying to move away from that X terrible website as well. So I'm doing a lot more like on the TikTok, the Instagram, and then YouTube is what I'm really trying to put my effort into now. Mm-hmm. The handle is the Kicks Shrink, like KICKS, and then Shrink SHRINK because I love sneakers. And sometimes mental health stuff. Yeah,
it's a really good show, really thoughtful, and I think they're really engaging, and you engage with your guests really well. I really appreciate that. So
thank you
for coming on. Thank you both. This is super fun. I learned a lot, and this is super entertaining for me, and I think our listeners learned a ton. Thank you to Nadim for help with production. If you haven't already, rate and review us at iTunes and follow me wherever you want. I don't care. I'm on all the dumb sites now. And they're like, whatever. Or just listen to the show. Just do that. Okay. Thank you guys so much.
This podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a physician or other qualified healthcare provider for your specific healthcare needs or concerns. The opinions expressed on this podcast do not represent the opinions of our employees. Details in the podcast have been changed so that patient identification is not possible. And I'm alive and I want to stay. For the first time I'm on my way. I'm ready for the world. I'm ready for the girl. I'm ready to say. And I'm alive and I want to stay. For the first time I'm on my way. And I'm ready for the world. I'm ready to burn this fire within. Let's begin.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.